KBTC, a viewer-supported community service of Bates Technical College.
From KBTC Public Television Studios in Tacoma, Washington, it's the Northwest Now podcast. Each week, we take a closer look at the people and issues that affect all of us here in Western Washington. So sit back, relax, and join the conversation with your host, Tom Lason.
Democracy only works in the context of the day-in, day-out exercise of good governance and transparency, and that includes at the local level. Tonight, our annual program on open government and the continued attacks on Washington's Strong Public Records and Open Public Meetings Acts. We sit down with the Washington Coalition for Open Government to discuss a major new report that illustrates just how bad things have gotten. And our Steve Kiggins with the story of how an effort to save public records may preserve hard lessons from the past. Your Right to Know is the discussion on Northwest Now. Next week is something called Sunshine Week, where the media puts a spotlight on the seemingly obvious virtues of open meetings and open records. But for years now, local cities, counties, and legislators have been using your money to fund a campaign to try to further limit the power of the Public Records Act, opting to invent exemptions, fund court battles, and pay fines, rather than provide requesters with the documents to which the law and the courts say they're entitled. So here we are, like we are every year, lamenting the slow erosion of governmental transparency as lawmakers continue to claim something called legislative privilege, and lawmakers write bills designed to make holding government accountable more difficult. But the importance of public records goes beyond the battles of the present. As Northwest Now's Steve Kiggins tells us, sometimes the quest for transparency is critical to our understanding of the past.
Lawmakers in Olympia approved a bill that preserves and catalogs thousands of hospital records found inside dilapidated buildings at the state's Lakeland Village residential facility in Spokane County. We're talking somewhere in the order of 3,000 boxes filled with these documents that are decades old. These documents tell the stories of Washington state citizens who were separated from their families and institutionalized. Now, these records were slated to be destroyed, but that's until public record advocates sounded the alarm.
My great aunt is Grace Buchanan. There's a picture of Grace.
Leslie Whiting is passionate about family history. She testified during a January Senate hearing, sharing what she learned thanks to access to state records about a long-lost relative she met only once.
Grace was sterilized. Grace was committed to the state custodial school by her mother on June 20th, 1929. She was 14 years old.
Grace's story is just one of an untold number of histories waiting to be revealed, but only if Washington State protect and make publicly available patient records.
I cried, you know. It just changed me that I want to make sure people knew who she was.
I think society was afraid of people with developmental disabilities.
Stacy Dim, executive director of the ARC of Washington State, a nonprofit fighting for intellectual and developmentally disabled communities' civil liberties, says records discovered at Lakeland Village may date back more than a century, and inside them, she says, likely describe a dark history of eugenics, mistreatment, and possibly reveal branches to severed family trees.
I mean, I've met 70-year-olds who didn't know they had a sibling until their parents passed away, and then they discover that they have a sibling at a state institution they didn't know about.
Her efforts to save patient records from destruction awarded Dim and Lakeland Village Superintendent Tim Gerlitz with a key award from the Washington Coalition for Open Government. The bill approved by lawmakers instructs state agencies and the University of Washington to create a preservation plan and submit a budget in 2025. Next year, advocates hope lawmakers approve funding to add identifying information on 900 Lakeland Cemetery headstones that today display only a number stamped into concrete.
It wasn't just children who had, you know, what they considered feeble-minded, but kids who were troublemakers.
Whiting's research moved beyond her Aunt Grace. She's reaching out to strangers who may not even know about family members who became patients under the state's care.
What a tragedy if you wipe off someone's story, you know, that their life had meaning, that they want people to know, hey, I was here.
In Seattle, Steve Kiggins, Northwest Now.
A quick second here now for disclosure. I am a member of the Washington Coalition for Open Government. Joining us now are Mike Fancher, former Seattle Times editor and the president of the Washington Coalition for Open Government, and George Erb, a coalition board member and longtime journalist and journalism instructor here in Western Washington. Welcome both of you to Northwest Now. Great to have a discussion about government transparency, open records, the Open Public Meetings Act, like we do every year. And every year I say to myself, is this helping? And I still think there are some questions about that. And of course, all of us at this table hope that it does. Hey, this report here, You're Right to Know, produced and published by the Washington Coalition for Open Government, is a comprehensive document, really lays out a great case for transparency, for what's happening with transparency, and maybe what needs to happen with transparency going forward. We'll get into all of that. I want to start out, Mike, first with the major findings. Finding number one, the Washington State Legislature is undermining the PRA. It can't be said much plainer than that. How so?
Well, we deliberately started with that because when we looked at what's causing the erosion in the public's right to know, at the head of the list was the legislature. And it's both indifference and it's, if you want to call it this, antagonism. So for years, they have passed additional exemptions to the Public Records Act. They have tried repeatedly to exempt themselves from the Public Records Act. And it just has to be at the top of the list. Nothing is more antagonistic to the Act than the state legislature.
They must see the polling that you do. Why don't the politics of the situation augur in favor of transparency?
Well, it should. I think the issue for the legislature is they get down there and they know that what they're doing is important, and it's so important that they dare not let the public mess it up by looking over their shoulder. And that's just tragic, because what happens then is the erosion of public trust in the process, and that's what needs to be reversed. And we're hoping the legislature will see the wisdom of that and change its ways.
And that's so crucial in this era, when institutions are under attack, when public trust is under assault, when social media and other forces are conspiring, in my humble opinion, to undermine democracy itself. That trust is so vital. George, finding number two, public officials obstruct requesters. So not only is there some policy pieces to this with the exemptions and 700 exemptions and whatnot, but there's also some active obstruction taking place at the local level. How do requesters get obstructed? What's their experience that says, hey, I'm being obstructed?
Any number of ways. I co-edited the report, and I was surprised by the number of ways that these obstructions take place. I learned a lot by doing it as well. It can be, slow walking the response. It could be saying you need to pay us by check or in cash for the copy before we can send it to you. It could be we're going to mail it to you rather than email you the records. You know, it could be filing third-party challenges that slows everything down and drags everything into the courts. So there's any number of ways that it can be done, and I was frankly surprised by how many different ways there are.
Talk about this too, and I don't think one of the things that the average person understands, it's oftentimes the city or the county that they're living in that is actively pursuing this agenda against them, the constituents.
Yes. Yeah, yes. It takes place across the board. You know, Mike spoke to the state legislature, but we see it, across all state and local governments, cities, counties, but also the smaller ones, school districts, cemetery districts. I mean, it runs the gamut. There's thousands of governments in Washington state.
Yeah.
So that's thousands of ways, for the public records mechanism to get gummed up.
And if you're really a nerd and read some of the communication between the lobbying agencies and their constituencies in the form of city and county governments, they're very proud of the fact that they are on this issue, if you will. And lobbying, I guess they feel like on behalf of their constituents, which are the governmental agencies, but of course, as we mentioned, doesn't necessarily augur well for requesters and the citizenry. Mike, finding number three, agencies are failing to organize, maintain, and disclose records. Again, this seems like it should be a fundamental piece of governance.
It should be. Excuse me. It is in the law that they are to have rules and regulations that govern how they handle these documents. We feel the biggest issue is around organization. They aren't using technology effectively to help them organize. And when the records aren't organized, what happens is they can't find them when they're trying to, which delays things and causes problems, and it gets them into trouble, and the taxpayers have to pay to get them out of that trouble. So the organization is a significant part of it. And also, we feel that sometimes they get into kind of frivolous litigation. Instead of doing the right thing, providing the records that are public, they push back and push back and push back, and then the next thing you know, they're in court, they lose, and as I say, taxpayers foot the bill.
And here's, I think, the thing that people really need to understand. Not only are taxpayers, they're paying for the initial attempt to fulfill or deny records requests. They're paying for the litigation and the escalation that takes place by the governing agency to deny those requests. Then they're paying for the fines and penalties that are found levied against that government entity. And really, there's the government entities really have no skin in the game. Is that a big problem with this? The incentives are shaped incorrectly.
Yeah. And what happens is when they settle, the first thing they say is they didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
So the best thing that comes out of that process is that sometimes they commit to changing their processes and procedures. City of Seattle did that in a settlement with the Seattle Times. And that helps because then they go back and they deal with the training issues and they deal with the organization issues. So that's the positive side of that.
George, this gets into the weeds a little bit too, but I'm assuming a certain number of open government nerds are watching this. I was interested to read that some of the agencies now are actually facilitating legislative privilege on behalf of legislators. Some of them say, well, I don't necessarily claim privilege on this, but the agencies themselves are going through a process anticipating the needs and the wants of legislators who might want privilege. I mean, that's a multi-layered attempt at obfuscation there, in my view. How do you view that? How does WashCog view that?
Yeah, well, Aaron, let me just say, I'm a weed-friendly guy, so I'm good with you on that. Yes, there was some very interesting reporting that came out about that several months ago about how a state agency, I can't remember what
revenue.
It was. It was revenue, yes, yeah. That was it. Yes, was claiming legislative privilege. As I recall, I think that once it became public that they retreated from
that. Oh, sure.
But that's always the fear, and that's WashCog's greatest fear, is that if legislative privilege ends up sticking, if the courts allow it to stand, and the state legislature adopts it, that we expect that it would spread to other smaller legislative bodies, think city councils, county councils, school boards, and we could see that spreading. And if it does, I mean, the Public Records Act would be so hollowed out as to be almost meaningless.
And we'll talk about putting some teeth into the PRA here in a little bit. Mike, though, prior to that question, at a more fundamental level, does WashCog or somebody need to develop a pledge? For a while, one of the major national anti-tax organizations in the country was very successful in getting lawmakers to sign a pledge. Does WashCog need to do something like that? Here's a pledge that you were committed to to open government. How does that stand?
Funny you should ask, because we actually, we actually do have a pledge. And so far, about six, I think it is, legislators have agreed to sign the pledge, saying,
okay,
I will not claim a legislative privilege. For the most part, they're kind of hunkered down. They're going to wait and see how the court rules on this. But also, the first thing they say is, well, I've never exercised the privilege. Well, that's because it didn't exist. We still think it doesn't exist, but until two or three years ago, there was nothing like that. Now, suddenly it showed up in various state legislatures. So they say, well, I've never exercised it, and I have no intention to. Well, that's not very good for very much. But until our lawsuit gets through the state Supreme Court and it's settled one way or the other, legislators are just going to try and wait this thing out.
Talk a little bit briefly about what that lawsuit is. Didn't we settle it in another case?
No, this is different than the redistricting. We've sued the state to say that, asking the court to say that there is no constitutional legislative privilege that allows individual legislators to either not disclose or redact records. So far at the first court level, we lost. We still think we will prevail up the ladder to the state Supreme Court. But if we do lose, and if there is a legislative privilege, then the pledge becomes much more important. And also we may need a constitutional amendment to guaranteeing the public's right to know, and would speak to that issue.
Perfect segue about a constitutional amendment in the Washington state constitution. You know, Section 4256 seems pretty clear to me, George. It doesn't seem to leave a lot of wiggle room for what the intent of the body politic in this state is. But how would a constitutional amendment work? It seems like the public support would be there to sign an initiative, but an initiative and an amendment to the Constitution are different things. Give me some of the preliminary thinking on that.
It's a really, really heavy lift in this state. And I don't know off the top of my head the hurdles.
The percentages.
Is it like two-thirds of both chambers?
Something onerous,
and then it's a majority of the voters. I think that's it. Heavy, heavy, heavy lift. But, you know, it's not unusual for states to have some sort of a transparency provision in their state constitutions. There are six or seven states that have that. Montana has that famously. We've looked at that quite a bit. That was when Montana rewrote its constitution. I think it was in the 70s. They put that in there. So it's not unheard of to have a constitutional provision basically spelling out protecting access to public records.
Also in this report that I want to direct people to, too, and we'll do that at the end, is a long list of recommendations. You know, there's been a lot of complaints about vexatious requesters, for-profit requesters. There was a House Bill 2307 that died, but the idea persists that the PRA requesters are a side job and a pain in the neck, which can be true. But one of your top recommendations, Mike, is this request to change the whole mindset, to view the PRA and the OPMA as essential. How do we change the basic culture, though, of an entire government to accept this as an essential duty and something that is not negotiable?
Well, sadly, Washington State was once recognized as just about the best state in the country for this, because back in 1972, the citizens passed an initiative that called for open government. It was saluted by people in government. And so we've got a good track record to build on. And we also have a track record that says that when the public speaks, the politicians listen. So when the state legislature a few years ago tried to exempt itself from the PRA, on a given Monday, 13 newspapers in the state had front page editorials opposing that. Some 20,000 Washington residents contacted the governor's office asking for a veto, and the legislature backed down very quickly. So that's the other thing that we say to the people. It's your right to know that we're trying to protect, and it's your time to speak up right now and let your legislators know. We don't tend to think of open government in our elections as an important ballot measure in terms of who your candidate is. We need to build that into the public's thinking about who they're electing.
And that circles back to that idea maybe of a pledge or elevating its relevance to some degree. Another recommendation is to legislate a new requirement to operate transparently and facilitate easy and low-cost access. Something to preempt administrative delays and foot dragging. Doesn't that already exist, though, George? And does 4256 need some side teeth built into it, like maybe personal liability for requesters who are dragging their feet? If you lose in court, you just don't get to pay with the taxpayer's dime. You're personally liable. What kind of things can help with this requirement to operate transparently?
The burden on the government or the burden on the requester?
Government.
On government, we think that government makes the job much harder for itself than it need to be. Honestly, you know, a lot of the litigation and the conflict could be avoided completely if a requester came back and said, hey, you didn't give me all the records that I asked for, or you missed this one, if government just simply said, oh, sorry, here it is, the dispute basically goes away. And if it does end up in court and judges sit there and see that the government is trying to fulfill the records request, you know, in good faith, right, in good faith, then that's going to basically diminish the likelihood that there's going to be any substantial penalties. So I think that too many times government just simply picks the hard road instead of the easy road. And if they pick the easy road, I think their lives would be a lot easier.
And if they were to lose in court and then be personally liable somehow, that could change their outlook too.
If they could be personally liable. Right now, that's not an option. It's basically the government that's liable. Yeah. And that means that the taxpayers are the one that pay the bill.
Yeah. Mike, you mentioned transparency. Talk a little bit about the role technology in this whole thing. It's another one of your recommendations to enhance it, not to evade it, to use technology to help open government, to help transparency, not to make things more opaque. It seems to me that with technology, this should be getting easier every year.
It should be. And that's something where we think we can help. And we're often seen just as a scold, which we can be, but we also want to help governments figure out how to use this technology. What are the model rules? How can the training be improved? This is all stuff that we want to work on, and we're reaching out to people like the Association of Washington Cities and seeing if we can't work together to try and make it easier for especially the smaller governments to serve this. We'd love to see a statewide portal that would be easier for local governments to plug into and use that.
That everybody puts a little skin in the game, contributes to. It's very simple, one-stop shopping. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It sure would.
Do we need a little bit of a second look at the Sunshine Committee? I'd like to mention that Toby Nixon, longtime president of the Washington Coalition for Open Government, was recently appointed by the governor to head that committee. But the committee's arc has been definitely on a downward trend because a lot of committee members felt like nothing was happening. They were just going to Olympia to say, let's not allow these exemptions. The legislature comes in, steamrolls them. I think we're up to 700 now in the Public Record Act that are exempt records. Does the Sunshine Committee have a future? Can Toby save it? What are your thoughts about this, George?
I hope it has a future, but the state legislature has done a phenomenal job in recent years of basically sidelining it by making it irrelevant by ignoring it. So, you know, the committee's got a lot of work ahead of it. I mean, there are things they can do, and I'm confident that Toby can come up with ways to do that, but they might be able to do things like go after exemptions that state agencies want to get rid of anyway. And so, you know, they would be able to go to the legislature and say, it's not just us who wants to get rid of this particular exception to the Public Records Act, but it's Agency X or Agency Y. They might be able to do things like that. There's going to be some turnover, it looks like, in the committee membership because of retirements. That might be reason for hope. But yeah, there's going to be a tall order to try and get that committee relevant again, especially with the state legislature.
Mike, I always go back to this kind of as home base, too. There's a lot of complaints about vexatious requesters and all the problems that it creates and the need for all these exemptions and the horrible litigation and the fines that cities and counties have to pay. There's always one simple solution, though, isn't there? If you don't like somebody who is, for instance, a gadfly or maybe you think is in this thing for the profit of all, there's always an easy answer, which is to fulfill the request. How do we persuade lawmakers and administrators that they don't have to be the subject of this report? This can be made very simple.
It is a paradigm shift that needs to take place, because when local governments say it's too expensive or it's too burdensome, it gets in the way of our doing our job. That's where we need to say, no, this is your job.
Right.
This is a basic function of government. It's what the public expects from government. The records, public records, don't belong to the government. They belong to the people. Now, once we've established that, how do we make this system work more effectively?
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to shift gears and start to focus on that.
Last 30 seconds here. If people want to get their hands on this report, which I certainly suggest they do, it really provides a compelling case for what the problem is, how it might be resolved, what the future might hold. I really think anybody who votes or as a citizen of the state, really should take a look at this. How can they get a hold of it? How can they engage with WashCog? What are some of the steps, George? I'll give you a crack at it.
Thank you so much. Go to our website, washcog.org. That's washcog.org. That's our website. If you open it up, the report is the banner at the top. I'm going to say right now, you can't miss it. It's right there. And there's a button that says for more information or download, and you hit that and you'll get the PDF of the report.
So folks can download this, they can share it with their friends.
They can email it, they can download it, they can print it out, they can read it online.
They can talk to their lawmaker about it.
We would love for them to talk to their lawmaker about it.
Yes. All right, great conversation as always, guys. I really appreciate you coming to Northwest Now.
Thanks so much for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us, yeah.
You know something, I did this last year, but I'm now thinking I need to do it every year. To read part of Title 42 of the Revised Code of Washington, which says this: the people of the state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies that serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. The people insist on remaining informed so that they may maintain control over the instruments that they have created. The bottom line, transparency is the law of the land here in Washington, and it's up to all of us to know it.